This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Thursday, November 5th. Oh, November 5th. What a momentous day.
It's your birthday.
In the history of the universe. Pretty amazing. When you get right down to it, happy birthday to me. It's
what do you want for your birthday this year? I mean, not like something solid.
Global peace.
No, you're not in a world peace.
Yes, right. Yeah. What do I want for my birthday?
What's your wish for the year?
In the temporal thing is that sort of the things that I'm trying to do on the farm are all sort of... It's my life follows in patterns, and I pretty much do the same thing with my radio work as I do on the farm. There are times of expansion, and I believe now is the time for expansion in terms of both of them. And if I were to apply that to my personal life, I would like my life, excuse me, to... The boundaries that I've set for my life really are invisible. I've never had any boundaries on my life. I've gone where I wanted to go. I've lived to this point a very, very fruitful and happy life for the most part. Have there been ups and downs? Yeah, of course, everybody has ups and downs. Have there been things that if I could do them over again, I'd do them better or do them differently? Yep, absolutely. People, places, things, but... You know, and I count my blessings, and I do it very frequently. And I always have, actually. But especially as I've learned from in my 30s. As a matter of fact, I think it was my 35th birthday. Now that you ask me, I'm really going back into the crevices of my mind. When I woke up to what life really needed to be like, the first part of my life had not been, in a way, it had been a hodgepodge of stuff, and it was kind of messy and... And I woke up to the fact that I didn't like it. I didn't like where I was and what I was doing. And so I changed as much. It took me a while, but I sort of jumped into, with both feet, a certain philosophy of life that I have maintained to this day, and it's probably expanded somewhat. So in terms of the question, answering the question, I think I want to have my mind, I would like to continue to think that my mind will stay healthy and continue to expand. To allow me to be more accepting of people who are different than I am, to love people a little more easily than I have. I went to see my shrink yesterday, as I usually do before my birthday, and she and I were talking about what it was. She refers to the period of my life as Little Dudley, and this is very introspective, but my given name is Dudley. And when I was a kid, I was pretty much on my own. And so a lot of the things that shaped, we are who we are, shaped by what we were, in a sense, how we were brought up, what was it like to be around family, did we have close relationships, and I never had any close relationships as a youngster. And so growing up and looking for a connection with older men who became my mentors on the farm, and frankly in the radio business and at college, I just got a note from a friend of mine, excuse me, wishing me a happy birthday, Bob Olson, whose first day on the job at Heidelberg College, my alma mater, he was a young guy just out of school, and he was being trained in university management, and so his first job was to be the assistant dean of men at Heidelberg, and he and I met each other on the first day, and we, from that point to this, have been lifelong friends. And I just sent him a note acknowledging that, you know, looking at him and his bad feet and his gray hair, you know, thinking back to this young guy who was 21 years old, 22 years old when I met him, just 3 or 4 years older than I was, and the fact that we've maintained a friendship through, I think that's what it is. You know, when I decide that I want to have a friend, or when it becomes obvious that somebody's important to me, like the two of you are, and Jennifer, your family, you know, I don't leave. Once I develop these relationships, for whatever the reason, whether it's because as a kid I didn't have them, and, you know, moving into a better place or a different place, you hold on to stuff that you feel good about. I think that's, excuse me, one of the reasons that the farm has been so important to me, because it grounded me, literally and figuratively.
It's stability. I do the same thing. I think I see that in you because...
Yeah. I see it in you, too. I mean, you have a different... You've grown up differently, but you've had some of the same shaky stuff. And the interesting thing about Victoria is she's always felt like she was loved. Her family, you can tell by the way she talks about her mother and her father and the heritage in Ireland and all that stuff. And so that benefits you. I mean, you find family where you find
it. Oh, I don't take it for granted. I'm very lucky.
No. Oh, well, you can't take it for granted.
A lot of people do.
You think?
I think so. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, don't look back and... and really are that introspective if they just, if they don't appreciate, you know, when you, especially when you hear other people's struggles to raise themselves or, you know, or to just people who just didn't have love around them.
It may be that that's why I've focused as much as I have on my children, but I have been very careful because of probably the exposure to the information that I've had here on this program to not overparent my two children, to be a helicopter father. I wasn't cut out to be that way anyway. I think people need to grow up with a certain direction. They know, they have always known who I am. They're quite amused by their father. At times when they were younger, they were quite angry with their father, but they understood that they were my priority. Whether they always liked me, I think they always loved me, but I think there was a time when they didn't like me much. So, you know, but I think that that happens. I think there are times when, you know, I guess that's part of the existence. I've had relationships. Sometimes, you know, you love somebody doesn't mean you like them. And there are times when very few, but once in a while here, we all love each other. Sometimes we don't like each other, but we all kind of keep it into perspective. And that's really what, as far as moving ahead, to more thoroughly answer the question, I just kind of want to keep doing what I'm doing and do it better every day. That's all. Whether it's my relationship with the children, taking care of them as I can, whether it's to be a good friend, whether it's to be a good radio person, whether it's to run the farm better, all of those things, we all can improve. We all can do better. It's whether you want to. And it kind of goes back to that conversation we're having about prisons earlier on, and whether you actually have a clue as to what you want. Nobody else can decide for you, or nobody else ought to be able to decide for you, what your future is. It not to be up to somebody else, it ought to be up to you. And I've been very, maybe because I grew up independently, that's a nice way of saying I grew up on my own. My sister, actually, whose birthday is next week, and I had this conversation at dinner the other night about the, you know, our mother was not, wasn't much there, especially as we got older. But we were talking about the food that she used to make for us and how that was the one thing that she knew how to do that she could contribute, that whether she realized it or not, or whether we even said we appreciated it, we look back on it, she cooked good meals. And is that something small? Maybe, I don't know. But it's something to hold on to. We can all find something good, even if you have a really crappy existence. If you look for the good stuff, you can find it. And so... I'm looking for the good stuff, Jennifer. Thank you for asking.
It's a good wish.
Yeah, it is.
Happy birthday. Exactly. More good stuff, less bad stuff.
Yes, right. That sounds like a... Mike McVeigh, if you're listening, that's the new slogan for the program. More good stuff, less bad stuff. How about that as a slogan for the program?
More good stuff. I hope stuff, that's right? The slogan for 2021, because this year...
Yeah, the whole damn year. Yeah, right in our existence, as a matter of fact. Today is American Football Day, in addition to being my birthday, rugby and soccer. That, you know, that's what they call it football in Europe, right? They call soccer football. It isn't really, or is it? I don't know whether maybe we're.
No,
the
it's more. Spin it around. We call football soccer. The rest of the entire world calls it football because, hello, you kick a ball with your foot. But America decided we're going to just rename that entire global sport. Mm-hmm. So
Well, we do those things in America.
We do,
and get away with it to a point. Anyway, the graduate. Let's see here. Yale graduate Walter Camp. back in the late 1800s, gets credit for pushing innovative rule changes, including the line of scrimmage, down and distance rules, the first and ten, you know, that stuff, and legalizing of blocking. College football took off well before the pro version in the early 1900s as bowl games attracted a national audience for college teams. The NCAA version remains pretty much the same today in terms of its popularity, not only with the people in school and stuff, but the media loves it and makes a lot of money on it. Pre-NFL American Professional Football Association began in 1920, and then things grew quickly on the pro. What did they make for playing ball in those days? I wonder. My father played professional football in the New Jersey League, as a matter of fact, Victoria.
Really?
Yep. In the 1930s, probably 32, 33, 34 in there. And then he went to college out in Decatur, Illinois at Millikan University because he got a scholarship to play football. And he and his friends, there were three or four friends from East Boston that played football in New Jersey. And then they all decided, okay, well, we'll get a free ride. We'll go to college. We'll play football there. So they did until they got caught by an official who remembered them from playing in the pro leagues in New Jersey. And then when he saw all three of them playing at Millikan, the next day they got all thrown out of Millikan. That was the end of their college career. Yeah, but you know, football is a lot different. They used to wear, remember that movie with George Clooney and Krasinski? Mm-hmm. They wore those leather, I think they called it leathernecks, right? Didn't they?
Leatherheads.
Leatherheads.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the NFL grew to 25 teams by the time we get into our mid-1920s. The rival AFL folded after one season, but there was an interest. But it came back, the American Football League came back again, right, in the 50s and 60s and 70s?
Yeah, well, we've got the AFL and the NFL, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Or,
right.
I mean, AFC and NFC, yeah.
That was it. More teams entered into the league in the 50s, 1958 NFL championship game known as the greatest game ever played, changed everything. The Colts and the Giants met at Yankee Stadium playing the first sudden-death overtime game in NFL history. The final score, Colts 23, Giants 17. Today, there are 32 NFL teams. That may be a good trivia question. Maybe I should ask that for a prize. Split between the NFC and the AFC. But the AFC, but there was, no, there's something missing here. I remember the Patriots were in the AFL when the team was first formed.
Yeah, the American Football League.
Yeah, and it wasn't, the conference came afterwards when they folded them all together. But this, going, the NFL in the 20s, but then they went away from it, but they went back to it in the, I think it was late 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. When there was the American Football League and the National Football League. It's kind of like the American League in baseball and the National League, right? Same kind of thing. Same basic concept. And those have all been folded together, too, haven't they? But baseball's all kind of one now. It used to be when I was a kid, only American League teams played against American League teams. Now, they all play against each other, right? National League teams play against American League teams and that sort of thing.
That's a Jen question. I don't know. I don't follow baseball, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think that. But you know what? I have to laugh. It points out the age difference between us because of the things. And I find it all the time, and I just chuckle. It doesn't become an issue. It's just fun. It amuses me, and it's sort of. And I don't mean to make you either of you feel badly about it. But
we
stuff
don't.
That you don't know. Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just it's, I don't know. It's just. Interesting.
Anytime I need an explanation from something you've said, I just call
Fancy
my mom.
Nancy. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And she's like, oh, Doug's right. That would happen. That happened. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Good for her. You should set up a call between the two of us.
I fact-check you a lot.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. You should set up a call on the air someday between your mother and me. Just
she's been on the air for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah? Right,
yeah, remember a couple years ago she was on.
Right, exactly. All right, well, anyway, a lot of talk about, what are we talking about? I have a lot of things about life. We need to give the election stuff a rest a little bit. All right, 21 after the hour here on the DJV program.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a five-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from 3 times a week to 1 a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to 3 times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor, and the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Well, boys and girls, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, one of the nice and neat, and put the words together. One of the neatest parts of this program is for many of us to go back in our into the early years and have fun with the music that was popular. So every week at this time on the musical portion of this hour of the program, we do Throwback Thursday. Right now, we have the top five songs from this week in 1960. Starting with Sam Cooke. This was his first, and I believe his biggest hit. And he had a number of them, five or six of them anyway. This is the Chain Gang of the Men Working on the Chain Gang. Crank it up.
The sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long.
I'm going home one of these.
Yeah, Sam Cooke had one of the smoothest voices. It wasn't of the pop era, I would say, more than the rock era, because he wasn't really a rocker. A lot of pop hits. Of the men. And it was, you know, story is pretty much what was going on with a lot of black men at the time. They still had the chain gangs, believe it or not, in the 50s and 60s down south. I can't. And there's a movie that Paul Newman is in with George Kennedy. And Strother Martin's in it. I've forgotten what the name of it is, but yes, thank you. Yep. There's a generational thing.
Well, you know what? You'd be amazed at how I even know what Cool Hand Luke is. It's because when I was a kid, Guns N' Roses had a really popular song, and they took a clip from that movie. So that's how I am aware of that movie. It's because of Guns N' Roses.
There you go. All right, number four at 24 after the hour on the DJV program. This year in 1960, Connie Francis started her career with My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own. She was 16, 17 years old when she sang this. And you'll get a kick out of this. It sound echoey. Remember that Cher song? She did a couple of them that sounded like they were an echo chamber.
Yeah.
The original echo chamber was just recording twice over. They only had mono tape recorders, so they just recorded over it. That's kind of how they
got
that
illusion.
Yeah, right. Yep. My Heart Has a Mind of Its Own. So Connie is number four. Number three. Crank it up. I love, this is one of my, when I get down into the real nitty-gritty of my musical history and my preferences, this was the first song, other than an Elvis tune, that I really got super excited about. I got goosebumps as I think about Ernest, Ernest Evans is his real name. He called himself Chubby Checker because at the time he was trying to counter Fats Domino. Get it? Chubby Checker, Fats Domino. That was the
I
only reason.
It.
Yeah, okay. And this song revolutionized dancing, revolutionized the radio, rock music, the whole thing. It's just a simple, silly little song about a silly little dance. That was the Twist and Twister. Crank it up.
Do we tear the house down?
Oh, yeah. A lot of dance music, number two, this week in 1960. Benny King was the lead singer of the Drifters at that time. This was their first big hit, Save. Save the Last Dance for Me. Very smooth. You know this song, Victoria?
Oh, sure.
Your mother.
Absolutely.
A lot of movies. Man, this song has been in tons of movies. For whatever the reason. All right, so a contemporary of Connie Francis. Connie was a tad older than Brenda Lee, but they both had pretty similar, if you watch the curve of a graph, a similar career. This was her first week at number one. I Want to Be Wanted, 16-year-old Brenda Lee.
I want someone to share my laughter.
Knowing all, this song so crystallizes what so many other songs have been about. We all just want to be wanted, right? Isn't that the whole story of life?
I think I always think of her as a little more like rockabilly, right?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was.
Or a little more up-tempo?
Yeah, a little more, yeah, she moved faster than Connie Francis did. But I'm talking about their rise in their... in their professional career,
yeah.
The fact that they were contemporaries. Anyway,
wasn't
I want to be
discovered by Elvis.
Brenda Lee?
Yeah.
I think you may be right. I think maybe, yeah.
I
think
feel like
right.
That's a tidbit, little factoid that I heard somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I think you may be right. Yep. All right. Short little thing. Just a little thing.
Right.
Number one. It's, where are we here? Getting up to 29 past the hour. On the DJV program, Throwback Thursday for this November the 5th.
Meet America's first and only hybrid minivan. The Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid delivers up to 32 miles all-electric with a total driving range of 520 miles while offering plenty of space. Drive with confidence in the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid.
The Y is where Leah first learned to dribble. Now it's also where she'll learn how to divide fractions. This school year, many Ys across America are transforming some of their spaces for virtual learning. Contact your local Y to learn more. Forever Learning. The Y. For a better us.
Asthma symptoms can attack anywhere, like on a city street. Now you can get fast relief anywhere with new improved Primatene Mist, the only FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. So whether you need relief of symptoms at the park or at your kitchen table, Primatene Mist starts working quickly, opening up your airways to restore free breathing. For temporary relief of mild symptoms of intermittent asthma, use Primatene Mist and breathe easy again. Available at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Use as directed.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As the presidential election remains in question, one thing is clear. The polls were again completely wrong. Pollster Lee Carter, president of Maslansky and Partners, tells Fox News the undecided voter is hard to calculate.
What I would call the unexcited voter. The unexcited voter was somebody who was just not terribly enthused about their candidate, but they were doing it because of an issue that maybe was important to them, but they could still be peeled off. Donald Trump, I believe, was able to peel off some of those folks in the end because Joe Biden, we saw this in the polls all along, only 30% of people that are voting for Joe Biden were voting for him because of his policies and what he was going to do.
Okay.
Most people who are voting for Joe Biden were voting against Donald Trump.
The Trump campaign has filed lawsuits in three states claiming voter irregularities and last-minute rule changes. Thursday Night Football tonight, the Packers travel to the 49ers, 8:20 p.m. Eastern on Fox. USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The NASCAR Cup Series returns to Phoenix Raceway for the 2020 season finale. Sunday, the Final Four will battle for the chance to be the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion. Driver Denny Hamlin talks confidence.
Yeah, I mean, we've achieved our goal for the year. Our goal is to get to the Final Four. After that, it's all about circumstances. You have to have a fast car, and you have to have things fall your way if you want to be a champion. So, it's like I said, I agree with Kevin. It's a little different than it used to be, and so now it just comes down to one race. We've achieved our goal, 2 years in a row now, making the Final Four. Hopefully, we can finish this thing off. We obviously had a great Phoenix last year. Things were a lot different. You had a different aerodynamic package, but certainly, I feel like when I go there, that I'm going to roll off and hopefully have a race winner.
Driver Joey Logano is excited for his second championship race.
Yeah, of course we're excited. We're ready to go. This is a great opportunity. We were able to lock ourselves in a couple weeks ago and be able to breathe for a minute and get through these last couple of races. What a crazy race it was today for those guys trying to get their way in. So, glad we were able to keep some momentum up, get a good starting spot. I don't know where we're going to be for next week yet, but hopefully it's a good starting spot and we're able to fight our way and try to get our second championship.
Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott are also in the Final Four Championship. Tune in Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, on NBC. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Things metaphysical, then you need to check out the podcast for Your Hidden Power. Visit YourHiddenPowerShow.com or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Thirty-four at the hour, Thursday, November 5th, 2020 is upon us. Victory, victory is our cry, etc., etc., etc. One of our jobs here is to go through what's going on, trending stories. Certainly we have, for for reasons which we have no control over, COVID has taken a back seat. Would you agree, Victoria?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we see these numbers in terms of our attention span, maybe.
Yeah.
But hospitalizations are way up, and certain states that are getting hit really hard, it's kind of like where New York was back in March.
Yeah.
They're bringing
in
mobile.
The overload in the hospitals and stuff?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And mobile, yeah. Setting up secondary, ancillary spaces for COVID patients, bringing mm-hmm. in mobile morgues, which we saw way too much of in New York. So, in New Jersey and New York now, we've got 102,000 new cases. In one day, this is a real surge, and we're right back now to where we, in New Jersey, we're back to where we were
in, I think it was April.
So what will happen as a result of all of this to state and local aid, one wonders, as we get away from, I'm looking at El Paso, for example, where they have hit the breaking point. The city of Juarez is on the other side of the war. They're really one city separated by the river. That's it. So these people are going back and forth, and they're not paying attention. And that's why El Paso is probably, if you were to put a pin in the map, it may be the worst place in the country for this at the moment. And it's the Rio Grande is only it's like 12 feet wide there. It's not much of a river. And so, the bridges that go over, you can easily, it's like being in the same neighborhood. You come into the city on the interstate, in Interstate 10, and you look off to your left. If you're coming from the east, you look off to your left, I've come into El Paso many times at night, and it looks, it's one huge city. The lights, you can't tell where the river is at night. And so you drive in, and it's about a 10-mile ride. Once you come up over the ravine, and you head into El Paso Valley, the Rio Grande Valley, actually, you see these lights. It's almost like New York. It's spread out so far, Victoria. It's a really quite an interesting ride. And so many times I've driven across the country, for whatever the reason, I seem to always come into El Paso at night. And but the reason I give you the description is because, in my mind, it makes perfect sense that the situation is as bad there as it is because of the broad back and forth that the people in El Paso who work in Juarez go back and forth across. And the same thing is true on the side of the Hispanic. The Hispanic people of Juarez come over and work in El Paso. And so
I think that's the reason, and nationally it's been showing the same data that, this is really disproportionately affecting black and brown people. Yeah. And in the Hispanic community, the virus is, for many reasons. They live in multiple multiple generational dwellings. So you've got young kids living with grandparents all in one house. A lot of Hispanics in this country are frontline workers, grocery stores, factories, warehouses. They're exposed to a lot of different people. They're not the work that, by the bulk of Hispanics in this country are not people who are sitting at home on computers working from home. No. So it's, it's basically exposure. Yeah. It's just they're exposed to a lot more.
So you see all of this now. The makeup of the House and the Senate has changed a little bit. Fewer Republicans, but still they're in charge of the Senate. Few less Democrats in the House, but they're still in charge of the House.
Right.
So can they come together? I guess a lot will depend on. I don't think you're going to see any action until a presidential candidate is decided or declared the winner. I don't think anyone's going to do anything until then. So we watch our P's and Q's, mind our P's and Q's, if you will, in terms of Thanksgiving, which will be very much front and center now through the end of the month, because people just want to forget about everything, the election and the virus. Although I know I was going to go to California to be with my kids on Thanksgiving because I figured it'd be easier to travel this year. I don't usually travel at all on Thanksgiving. And they both said if we would have a close Thanksgiving meal, then, I'd have to be separated out for a while just to be safe.
Yeah.
And so I had to say, I'm not going to bother with it. It could be different at Christmas time.
We're hoping that it's good weather. So I'm, because we're going to sit outside and visit my parents. We're not doing a Thanksgiving meal or anything.
Is, depending on who you listen to, my podcast, The American Family Farmer Show, we have the current podcast, three or four different looks at the weather for the winter. From various sources, the Farmer's Almanac, the Old Farmer's Almanac, NOAA, and three out of the four say we're going to have a fairly mild winter, at least in this part of the country. That is, you're in the Northeast in New Jersey. I, at the moment, am in Massachusetts, although I won't spend the winter here. It just is nice to know that if I have to come back and forth, I'm not going to get saddled.
Won't be too bad,
10 feet of snow. Right, exactly. So, back to Thanksgiving. Whether you believe the CDC or not, or whether you pay any attention to them, they have come out with some ideas to consider when it comes to Thanksgiving, some low-risk activities that you can engage in, having a small dinner with only the people who live with you in your household, That'd be real small with me. It'd be Daisy and me. That's it. Preparing a traditional family recipe for family neighbors. What do we need them to tell us this for? Are we really that slow?
Well, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's some people, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. So, that, right. You know, these are the guidelines. I think it is nice to check in on people. And if you, you know, if you want to make some Thanksgiving meals, you can do, you know, you can drop off some food for your neighbors, especially if someone's going to be alone. I think there's going to be a lot of FaceTime this year, virtual dinners, things like that. You know, I think that you can do anything pretty much outside if you can't, if you know, if you're with someone in your bubble or in your pod, as a lot of people are calling them pods, then, if you're, you know, with people in your pod, then everything is pretty much safe. Just, you know, use common sense. Don't go out in a big group of strangers. And if you are in a group of strangers and you can't stay too far apart, then make sure you wear your mask. It's, you know, it's basic stuff, but, you know,
it is
I don't know.
Stuff.
You still see so many people not wearing masks, and I don't know why, but I don't get it.
Well, I guess it's not for us to get. You keep talking about it as much as you can. Both the doctors associated with this program, Ken Kronhaus and Jack Stockwell, even though Jack is not enthusiastic about wearing masks, he does say that the one that he wears is the one that only has the one... What's the molecule called?
Micron.
Micron, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, our podcast, Good Day Health Podcast this week, is a feature, we have two of them, one with Dr. Ken Kronhaus, one with Dr. Jack Stockwell. Ken's starts out with something that I've repeated on the air any number of times with regard to COVID. COVID-2, which is where we are now, that's what it's being called officially, is more contagious than COVID-1, but much less lethal. That was the message that Ken had, among many other items that he researched for Good Day Health. So the podcast, if you want to listen to his rationale for thinking or saying that it's more contagious but less lethal, check out the Good Day Health podcast, gooddayhealthshow.com, or wherever you get podcasts. I want to go back to the, in a moment, a little bit more election stuff, because there are a couple of other interesting things floating around as we continue here on today's DJV program.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
Maybe it's occasional constipation.
Maybe it's not.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Maybe it's not occasional constipation. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. You may be able to talk to a doctor online. Visit Linzess.com, sponsored by Allergan and Ironwood.
Have you gained the quarantine 15? Or maybe it's 20, 30, or even more by now? Well, you can get your weight back on track by using Calitrin. Just listen to what everyone is saying.
My name is Jessica. I'm from the state of Texas, and I've been taking Calitrin. I take it both for weight loss and for the health benefit. I have lost 50 pounds, and I take it every night to help me sleep, and I feel I'm better rested in the morning after I've taken it.
My name is John. I am from Lafayette, Louisiana, and I have lost 59 pounds on Calitrin.
Hi, this is Beth from Texas, and I've been using Calitrin and found that it has improved my life immeasurably. I use it for arthritis pain. The pain is gone. I am able to get up in the morning and move around without any discomfort.
Calitrin is drug-free, stimulant-free, and has a huge 86% success rate with 90 days. Check out Calitrin's big sale at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
After the hour, 15 before the new hour here on the DJV program. Doug Steffen, Victoria Keelan, voters in Denver overwhelmingly voted to pass ballot measure 2J to lift the city's more than 30-year-old ban on pit bulls. This is one of the most misguided things that you see. Is look at some of the things that come down the pike in terms of some of the things that are the ballot measures. The city's now allowed to grant a provisional permit to pit bull owners as long as the owner microchips the animals. The pit bulls have gotten the worst. I mean,
oh, I know.
When Meredith and I were together, we found a dog. She actually wanted me to have it, and I wasn't ready because it was too soon after Charlotte died. A Staffordshire, which is a pit bull, named Millie. And Millie is the most wonderful. We went to New York to look for dogs. Meredith wanted to have one. She and I more or less shared Charlotte. And so she wanted one, and she wanted me to get one. So we looked at a couple of dogs. There were two males that we picked that we were going to adopt. And we essentially did adopt them, but we had to pay for them to get their shots and to have them neutered and stuff. And we would go back in a couple of days and pick them up. Well, as we were walking out of this facility, in the back corner in a cage was this dog, nice little brown and white dog, looking at us and sort of making noises. And we looked at each other and we looked at the dog and said, well, let's take the dog for a walk. Just let's take the dog for a walk. So I put a leash on the dog, and we walked around. This is in Brooklyn at the Kill Center in Brooklyn. And so her name was it wasn't Millie, it was Milagro. I think it was come from some Spanish. It was Milagro, that was it. So we took the Milagro.
You know what that means, right?
No, what does it mean?
It means miracle.
Oh, well.
So that's actually really cool.
There you go. Yeah. So anyway, we took to her right away. We said, okay, we'll take her. And again, Meredith was determined that I would have a new dog. And so we drove back from New York. Millie jumped in Meredith's lap and stayed there for the whole trip home. And we had just a nice ride. What a great little dog. And she was so scared. It was reminded me that when I've got Daisy from the rescue center down in Providence, coming home, she just threw up because she was so scared.
Aww.
Because she'd been moved around so much. And Millie was kind of the same way. Anyway, the point is that we kept her. She almost died the first night we had her, and then she realized that she had a family, and she came out of it pretty quickly. And is today, I haven't seen her for 3 years, but she was a fabulous, just a really sweet little dog, and I'm sure she's doing well. But
well, that's the thing. My brother has two pit bull mixes. One is a blue pit, like Staffordshire. The other is more of a mutt mix. But the problem with this, and I don't agree with banning any breeds. I think it's totally unnecessary. There have been so many studies that have shown that it doesn't do anything except harm the animals. But the thing is, right now, so many people don't, they're not buying purebred puppies. They're going to shelters and they're adopting. But it's very hard to now find any rescue dog in a shelter that doesn't have some degree of pit bull. So it kind of gets to the point where I'm happy that Denver overturned this ban, because there are so many amazing dogs that, are missing out on families and having a wonderful life just because someone wants to shame one breed. That basically every time a pit bull has been aggressive, it's because of the way it was handled and raised.
Right. Yep.
So
Speaking of dogs, a town in Kentucky has a new mayor, a French bulldog named Wilbur. This is a town along the Ohio River, elected a French bulldog as its new mayor, according to the announcement on Facebook. Mayoral election in the town's called Rabbit Hash, has been called. Wilbur got 13,143 votes.
Good for Wilbur.
Good for Wilbur. 10 before the hour.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you?
I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Oh, my God. The best thing about this movie, or one of the best things, is that Burt Reynolds didn't have to wear his toupee because he had a hat on through the whole movie. So from there, we go up. I thought, other than, with this, the movie music from Smoking the Bandit, by the way, for those of you who don't remember, and I know why you're playing it, because Sally Field and I share the same birthday. And I remember, as a matter of fact, I think we're the same age. How old is she, Chucker?
She's 73.
Yeah, same. Well, she's a year younger than I am. Yeah. Okay, so it's cool. And remembering, again, one of the great pop culture icons of the era was Burt Reynolds in so many different ways. And when he did this movie with Sally Field, and they had a relationship for 3 or 4 years, it was just kind of cool to have. It was completely, those movies were completely unscripted. And I thought two of the best parts of it, other than the relationship they shared, I mean, the whole movie was fun, the whole thing. Jerry Reed, who was a popular country artist at the time.
And who sang that song, right? He sings that song, right?
He's singing that song. They were great friends, he and Burt Reynolds, and so they had nothing but fun. And that dog, I believe that dog was one of their, and I don't remember who owned the dog that he had with him in the truck. I wish I could remember, and I can't, but that was
I don't remember.
Yeah, but wasn't that, I mean, where are those movies
actually,
now?
Why can't we
some of those movies?
Well, here's the thing. They announced David Gordon Green, I believe his name is, who did the movie Pineapple Express and also the last Halloween film, which made a lot of money. They're going to make Smokey and the Bandit into a TV series, so they have a lot of ideas to do that. So it'll be hard to see somebody play that role other than Burt Reynolds. But you are right, Burt Reynolds was the biggest box office draw for over 10 years during the 80s, and his toupee was good in some films, but when he did rent the cop with Liza Minnelli, all bets were off. I mean, that was a bad one.
Well, it was
anyway, getting back to Sally Field, she gave an interview a few years ago, and they asked her, what's the worst movie you ever did? And she said, oh, that was easy, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, which was 79. She actually did, in 1979, she did Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, which she said she did it for a paycheck. And then she did Norma Rae, same year, which she went on to win an Oscar.
An Oscar.
For best.
Fabulous.
But actually, you know, getting back to Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, I mean, yeah, it's obviously compared to the first one, it's not a good film, but her chemistry, I thought with Michael Caine was actually pretty good in that film. It's not all bad. So
yeah.
I do like her. And let me just tell you how things have changed in the landscape of TV and ratings. Sally Field did a TV show from 2006 to 2011 on ABC called Brothers and Sisters, which I liked a lot. In the last year of that show, the ratings were like 10.5 million viewers per episode a week. ABC canceled the show because they deemed it not good enough ratings-wise. The network would kill right now for any show that average. Oh,
right.
My God. I mean, if they get 5 million for some of these shows, they're lucky. But that was right at that point, the network TV started to fall off a cliff in terms of ratings, viewership, because cable and now obviously now streaming has got so much eyeballs on it. But that was a good show, and it was good. 10 million viewers a week was a good rating. They shouldn't have canceled it. And she's really good on it.
Yep, exactly. I was thinking, as you know how my mind works in rather strange ways, the best and worst hair pieces on actors. Burt Reynolds used to have horrible ones. John Wayne had a horrible one. Sean Connery John Wayne and Sean Connery, I don't know that I ever saw Burt Reynolds without some kind of hair.
Always had hair.
Once in a while you saw John Wayne without it. He was bald as could be.
Sean Connery went bald, yeah.
Early.
And you know, it's interesting, Bruce, when you watch a Die Hard franchise, then when they get to,
Willis has got a hairpiece.
He doesn't, he has no hair. Bruce Willis goes.
No, but he has worn a hairpiece at times during his career.
He has, okay. Yeah, he has, right. True. That is true. But it is weird looking at John McClane with no hair, although he's fine. I still like that character, tremendously.
Right. And then there's Shatner, who has the best hairpiece of them all. You really can't. You look at Shatner. Yeah. Isn't this fascinating, Victoria? We're talking about hairpieces.
I'm riveted.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. All right. So, The Witches, Warner Brothers has got a problem with Anne Hathaway's The Witches because of the, what was the phrase that's used for the Grand High Witch, the depiction of something with their arms and
fingers? I noticed some sort of controversy.
Limb abnormality. That's what it is.
Right. Kind of I hate to say this, but like sort of made into the shape of like a claw.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of like a monster thing in this, but that's actually when people are born like without a hand or whatever, like that's that's a surgical thing that they do to kind of make that same shape. And that's where it kind of became controversial, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Anyway, the HBO Max movie was released here a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who may be interested in it, check it out. Chuck Curry is here, our movie man at 50.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone.
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.